Wicked Anime is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds and otaku across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other wicked awesome geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Welcome everyone to the 65th episode of the Wicked Anime Podcast. My name is Dylan Senpai, and with me is the uncommon writer Sean.
Hola.
The hippest man in the room, Glitch, returns.
What's up? It's good to be back, and just letting everybody know, I am naked right now. I am podcasting in the nude.
All right. Okay. Now that we have that image in our head.
Okay. And of course, the stupid awesome man, John.
Yo.
And the hard man with harder opinions, Andrew.
Hi.
So who saw Mad Max?
Yes.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet.
Damn it. We can't even talk about it now.
I don't care about spoilers. Go for it.
Besides the fact that, the non-spoiler stuff, it was awesome.
Things explode. Spoilers.
Let me lead off with this. With absolutely no hyperbole or prose whatsoever, that might be the best movie of the last decade.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I do not disagree. Yeah. It set a new standard for how action movies will and should be shot.
American-Australian action movies anyways, because it still did not beat the action of The Raid 2.
Seriously.
It was a different kind of action.
It absolutely was. That is absolutely true.
Yeah, it's a different movie altogether.
Yeah.
And it is just phenomenal.
Yeah.
It was a giant middle finger to every blockbuster that's come out for the last 10 years.
It really was.
Michael Bay.
I'm going to go ahead and say this. Michael Bay is wrong. He has been doing it wrong. George Miller is the way and the light.
There we go.
George Miller?
Yeah
George Miller. That just sounded like you said George Biller.
That was actually George Miller's lesser-known younger brother.
That's what he went. That's what he went by when he directed Happy Feet.
Yeah. I just love the fact too that I was watching the credits of the movie, still hyped up and everything like that, and the construction section was bigger than the 3D effects section.
Yeah, you're like, this is how you make movies.
Yeah.
This is how you do this.
Yes. Yeah. You combine practical with CGI. Don't depend on CGI.
Yeah. Well, and the guy who played the guitar the whole movie, Iota.
Yeah.
Like, he's a real guitar player, and they did an interview, not with him, but about him, and they were just like, yeah, that fire that's coming out of the end of his guitar, that's a practical effect. That is not CG.
Of course not.
Yeah, like...
That's metal as fuck.
Yeah, seriously.
The entire movie was metal as fuck.
No, quite literally everything was made of metal in some form or fashion.
You know what I actually really liked about it that I took away from that movie that I thought was fantastic?
What's that?
The very clean and concise geometry of the action. You were never confused about what was going on.
Well, they did have 480 hours of film to sift through.
Yeah, it's...
I'm just saying, Michael Bay, you could, clean up your shots a little bit.
It's crazy, too, because this movie was, in development hell for the longest time and was, plagued by so many, things and that, it didn't seem like it was going to come out forever, and then now it's, really, really paid off.
Yeah, one of which being originally Mad Max 4, and then Mel Gibson had his anti-Semite thing, and then they didn't want him being Mad Max anymore.
Yeah.
So, and not...
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, and not to mention, just the opening for Thursday and Friday alone made $16 million.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Pretty good for an R-rated action film.
Yeah, for an R-rated action film, that is a good number.
So the other thing that I was super excited about was the fact that, let's just be honest, Tom Hardy did more with grunts and twitches than most actors do with dialogue.
Yeah, dude, Tom Hardy is a fucking amazing actor.
Yeah, no, that's why. I love Tom Hardy. I mean, he's just been awesome in every movie he's been in.
Yeah, and he wears that post-apocalyptic garb very well.
Yeah,
him, Charlize Theron was just as amazing, just as amazing.
Yeah,
she was pretty cool.
But I don't want to say anything else because, like, I just want to go see it, like, 7 more times in theater.
Yeah, we had an old associate of ours. Her husband saw it twice Thursday night when it premiered.
Wow.
Like, mine was so blown, he went back and
he
saw it.
He right back around and go right back in.
Yeah.
He's like, not done yet. Nope.
Yeah. Oh, it was, yeah, that was probably so close to a perfect movie.
Yeah.
That I've seen in such a long time.
It's still like 99% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah. Yeah, it really
is.
I mean,
that is just mind-blowingly amazing.
It's unheard of. Yeah. It totally is. So that was our second week in a row where we did a Hollywood movie intro to our podcast.
Yeah, right? About anime.
We're in the summer movie. It's summer movie season. This is just going to happen.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of summer movies, we're going to pitch our own summer movie today in a brand new segment that we're going to replace our Tamagotchi with called Pitch It.
Or the pitch.
The pitch. The
pitch.
Pitch
it.
Pitch it.
No, we're not doing some weird 80s, like, game or something.
Yeah, why not? I thought it was going to premiere on NBC this summer.
Oh, damn it. Oh, speaking of things premiering, The Muppets are coming back. I just had to throw that out.
I know.
The Muppets are coming back. And it's weird because it has, like, a semi-adult spin to it.
That's what I love about it.
Never, ever did I think I was going to hear Kermit the Frog say, I'm living in a bacon-wrapped hell.
It was amazing.
Hey, he's in the pigs.
And animals is like
animal do nudity.
Yeah, do nudity as long as it's like
and tasteful nudity.
Yeah, tasteful nudity.
What's your name? I want to say Gary.
Yeah, I think I was in a holiday special.
Like, my main question I want to know: will Crawford be back?
Which one's Crawford?
Yeah, Crawford.
Was he a crawfish?
Crawfish that was in like the old ABC Muppet show, like Muppets Tonight or something like that.
Oh wow, that was a long time ago.
All the time.
I don't remember.
I bet you they will.
Yeah,
it seems like they're really going all out with this. Look forward to it.
And it's really funny, too, because ABC is doing it because they have the property to the Muppets, but they're parodying NBC TV shows.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, ABC is, like, taking the opportunity to be like, take that, NBC!
It's the first
time... And they're doing it with puppets, no less.
Yeah.
It's the first time in my entire life where I've said... Where I haven't said ABC where shows go to die. Yeah. So we do eventually talk about anime on this podcast. And we start off by ringing the news bell.
News.
There we go. That's what a bell sounds like. I don't have a lot of news this week.
Me neither. I don't have any. So.
My news entirely consists of the fact that Fury Road came out and was amazing.
Yeah. We actually got, for our media news this week, we got a piece from our fan Mike, who passed along to us the news that Comic-Cons around the U.S. are now going to be hosting mangaka. And first, to kick off, the mangakas for Yu-Gi-Oh! And Naruto are hitting up Comic-Cons now.
Yeah.
What is a mangaka?
Mangakas
are basically manga authors and artists.
Yeah, authors and artists. Yeah, they're called mangaka.
So that's a pretty big deal. I mean, we're starting to mix cultures suddenly.
Well, because seeing that manga artists, all they do pretty much is sit in their house and being like, help me, I have to finish this issue before next week.
And they're taking time to go to the cons now.
And, you know, it's...
That's really true, but I mean, if you think about it, I don't think I've ever heard of a Comic-Con actually happening in Japan, so do the Japanese actually really care that much about U.S. comic books? I'm actually not really familiar with that connection.
Yeah, they do conventions over there.
Do they? They have American conventions? Wow.
I know some Americans go to them. I don't know if, like, Americans go as, like...
Guests.
Like, their own little section, yeah.
Like, the way we have anime cons here, they have, like, Western cons over there.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but I do know that, like, manga and anime have, like, actual conventions over there, just like we have comic book conventions over here.
They have Hamburger Con. Cool.
Yeah. Hamburger.
Yeah. The new Hamburger.
That's honestly all I have for media news. So, but I do have some exciting gaming news.
Thank you, Mike.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. I do have some exciting gaming news, which was, guys, did you see the Nintendo E3 video?
Yeah. No.
Okay. So Reggie, the American CEO of Nintendo.
Hello.
This is the first time in a couple years that Nintendo is going to be at E3. Not only that, they're kicking off E3. Like, they're the first conference of the con. And that's
awesome.
That
is definitely different, isn't it?
Yes.
They're dealing with a theme park now. They can do whatever they want.
And that was the other part of it, too. I mean, I'll put the link in the description. I actually contributed to an article on nerdyshow.com of what to expect out of Nintendo Land's Universal theme park. You know, Universal is getting a section somewhere in one of their theme parks to turn into Nintendo Land. And so there's a contributor article on nerdyshow.com that you can read about what we want to see that... rides and attractions.
I want to smash pots for prizes.
Rainbow roller coaster.
Rainbow Road roller coaster. Yeah, I really liked one of the contributors' ideas to have somebody dressed in a Wario costume going around to different sections of the park and just doing WarioWare moments like on the street.
That'd be kind of cool.
That would be awesome. I never thought of the thing where you just, like, I wonder how much vandalism there's going to be in the parks where people just run into stores and just start smashing all the pots for rubies. I can see that happening.
But then the crazier part is when they actually get one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
It gets even worse. Like, you know how much props and whatnot you can buy at stores now when that happens?
Yeah, seriously. Exclusive amiibos, too.
Oh, God.
Like your Mii amiibo?
Yeah.
You can make your own Mii stand now, like how to do a Legoland.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea, too.
What if all it was just like a Wii Fit section, and that was the whole Nintendo Land?
Yeah.
Walk. I want a section like the Wizard.
Another one of the ideas, too, was, you know how Disney World has those magic cards now where, like, you can fight Disney villains on the screen by playing a magic-style game in front of a computer? Somebody was thinking that the idea they should do that with Pokemon.
Oh my god, that'd be awesome.
Wouldn't it?
I would never leave the park.
Go around to different machines and catch Pokemon and then battle them on other machines.
Could you imagine Pokemon tournaments? Like, if they still do like the Game Boy Pokemon tournament, can you imagine that in Nintendo Land?
Yeah.
You just like walk around and somebody dressed as a bug catcher is just like, I'm here to battle you!
Hey, crap, I'm in his eyesight!
You spotted in my line of sight. I am going to battle you.
Oh, you want a battle, huh?
And then you beat them and they give you $3,000.
Give me your lunch money, kid.
Take that, you suck.
Bug catchers do not have 3,000 Zen. That's just not true.
Pokebucks.
Pokebucks.
Or whatever.
Disney dollars.
Disney dollars.
Some other non-gold standard back currency.
Dogecoin.
Was that all you had for the gaming news?
That's all I had for gaming news.
I thought I might throw in just sort of a follow-up from what we talked about on the last episode with like all the Konami stuff, which
please.
I learned recently more about like Konami and how a lot of Japanese developers and publishers like that, they don't just make games. Apparently, Konami, it makes a ton of money in other ways, like with pachinko machines. They also like have like tons of different Konami buildings in Japan. I don't really know what all of them do, but it seems like their recent moves might be like, well, we're not making as much money as we'd like to in the other parts of the world, so we're going to sort of scale back to maybe, I don't know, save some money. Because I think I read somewhere, I don't know if I mentioned on the last podcast, that just to be on the New York Stock Exchange, it would cost them like $5 million a year just to be on it. And so that's why recently they pulled out of the New York Stock Exchange.
Well, they're not a publicly traded company anymore?
At least in that market. I think in several other markets they're still available or whatever.
Or probably in Hong Kong and Tokyo.
Yeah, exactly. So. But I thought those were interesting. And I also, another Konami-related thing was, I had mentioned a couple other Japanese game developers that left whatever company they belonged to in Japan recently. There was like four, I think, that I mentioned. And Koji Igarashi, I believe, was one that I couldn't remember his name at the time. But he was like the brainchild for Castlevania, essentially. And he used to work at Konami, obviously. He actually has a Kickstarter now for his new game called Bloodstained, and
I've seen that.
Yeah, it's already raised five times the amount of money he asked for.
Wow.
That seems to be an interesting trend going on. Like, major developers of certain companies are backing out and just creating, for lack of a better term, another version of what they wanted to, like the whole ukulele
the whole time.
Thing.
Like, they're making their, basically, they're making their dream project.
They're Mighty No. 9-ing everything. Like, Mighty No. 9, like, and, the Mega Man thing, the ukulele, which is like Banjo-Kazooie, let's be real. Yep.
Well, and that's the trend we're seeing, is the AAA business is going away because they are screwing us, and they've been screwing us for a long, long time, and everybody is going indie, and that's what's going to be a rise. We're going to see, like, or I don't know if we're going to see, but I hope we see, like, places like Activision and EA just disappear almost.
I don't think so either.
They're too big to just die.
Yeah, they still make money. It's just that, like... I think you're going to see, like, fewer and far between, I think, is the thing, whatever. And but they still have a place, obviously. It's just that it's not where, like, a lot of these creatives want to go. Like, in Konami's...
Well, yeah, exactly.
With Konami, they're now going to focus a lot more on mobile and stuff like that as far as games go. Because that's, like, in Japan especially, mobile is, like, crazy popular. So they can obviously make money that way. And, like, making a huge AAA game like Silent Hills might be a way bigger risk for them. So they decide, well, let's not do that. Let's focus on something we know is going to make us money. I mean, at the end of the day, these are all businesses.
I feel in hope that most of these big companies will be kicking themselves later in this whole situation when it comes to things like this, because they're trying to play, quote-unquote, safe and whatnot, but they see how much backup these people are getting. I mean, you can release a big-name title that's like, Mario, you jump on Goombas, you do this, but how about Mario with something else? Because, you know, Nintendo makes so much money, they don't give a damn, they can do whatever. But other companies like Konami and Rare and all this kind of crap, and Microsoft keeps screwing everybody over by saying, put out the same crap over and over again. Just, it's safe, we'll do it this way.
Yeah, well, yeah, but when you see Activision releasing a Call of Duty every year and it makes $1 billion, then, you know, then
starting to decline, though, but yeah.
Yeah, that's the other side to it as well.
Yeah, we'll see how Black Ops 3 does. Yeah, right.
Well, the Black Ops series is actually a lot of people's favorite Call of Duty game, so it might actually do pretty well. I just thought that was interesting that yet another Japanese game developer went out on his own and seems like he's going to be just fine.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, right.
Although, and screw you, I'm going to make my own game with Blackjack and hookers.
And hookers.
You know what? Forget the game. Forget the Blackjack.
Yeah. But, I mean, on top of the Konami thing, too, have you guys seen that PT is, like, people are selling their PlayStations with PT on them for, like, $1,500 on eBay, and eBay's trying to take them all down?
Well, that's a little weird. I mean, it does suck that Konami completely just pulled it off. So, like, if you didn't already have it downloaded on your PS3 or 4, I mean, you just can't get it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, but I also heard things like this have gotten Silent Hills back on track. It's still happening now.
I haven't seen anything about that.
Really? I heard, I'm not saying that it's confirmed, but I heard from somebody probably somewhere on my Facebook timeline saying that they uncancelled Silent Hills because of the attention that PT was getting.
Mm-hmm. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows, really, honestly. I'm not going to confirm anything, but I'm just saying.
Jonathan confirmed it.
Like, yeah. I mean, because, I mean, once you, I mean, Konami, or Kojima, like, may have left, but Guillermo del Toro could have been like, I'm still going to stick with Konami, but Guillermo del Toro himself said, it's not happening anymore. Yeah. Like, which is the,
sad. Right in the feel goods.
Yeah.
And he even said that he might not even try to make another game, because this has been twice now that he's tried to make something that just didn't work out. Because he was working on a game with THQ, and we all know how they turned out.
Okay, so that's it for gaming news. It's time to move on to some strange news.
Yay!
Woo! I have one piece of strange news here, too, to finish up the news section. And we're back on track with this thing with idol groups doing things to get crazy fans, you know, attention from crazy fans. So there's this J-Rock idol group called Deep Girl. And
thank you, Glitch.
Yeah. Thanks for covering that
one. Oh, you get it?
Girl.
They announced that their group is going to be disbanding if their new single that's coming out soon does not hit the top 10 charts in Japan. And so they're coming up with ways to ensure that that is going to happen. And they actually have...
good music, maybe?
Not necessarily. So their CD is going to be released, the single, this one song, is going to be released in 7 different versions, one idol per CD jacket. So there's 7 different unique ones, one with featuring each idol. And each single is going to be selling for $8.39. Holy crap, for one song.
Was there like a naked pic on the cover or something we don't know about?
No, there is actually one star-shaped coupon on the inside of each jacket. And
ooh, a star shape, you say?
Yes. Yeah. And when you collect those, emphasis on collect, by the way, you can't just get one. You can get up to so many coupons, and you'll get rewarded depending on how many coupons you have.
Yeah, there's tons of stars out there. You got to have them all.
Yeah. So let's go down the list of the awards you can get for collecting these coupons for $8 each. Okay, one coupon gets you a ticket to a meet-and-greet event with the band. Probably a handshake thing where there's going to be knives
and
axes.
Chainsaws.
Yeah. And chainsaws, of course.
Yeah. Wait, hold on 1 second. So are you guaranteed a coupon, or is this like a Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory
yes,
style thing?
No, you are. If you buy a CD, you are guaranteed a coupon.
So that is a long, long meet-and-greet.
Yeah,
event.
Yes. Wow, okay.
Yes.
I got to go with a pop star.
5 coupons gets you a picture at the meet and greet with the group.
You know, this almost sounds a little bit worth it. Because, like, $8 for one song, yes, that's crazy. But you're also getting to go to a meet and greet? That's pretty also
a guaranteed meet and greet.
Yeah, but you also got to remember that idol meet and greets are usually handshake events. They sit at a table, you go down the line, shake their hands, and you leave.
Yeah, but that's still cool, kind of. I don't know.
All right, let's keep going down the list, and we'll see how this spirals into.
I would shake Guy and Thomas's hand for $8.
It seems like a bargain when you put it like that.
Yeah, exactly.
So for roughly $45, you get to take a picture with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. 10 coupons gets you a movie message, quote unquote, just for you. Mm. So for $80, they will make a movie.
Like, hello to John.
How are you doing today?
Yeah. All right, stay with us.
So that's $80, roughly. Yeah. For 30 coupons, you get to go to a karaoke session with a group of other fans with them, I would imagine. I think that's what it is.
$240. Okay.
Do you get to sing other songs than just theirs?
Yeah. I don't really like your song.
I just want to sing their rival songs just for the hell of it.
Yeah, right. For 50 coupons, a handwritten letter just for you.
Quote unquote.
Hi. Yeah. Sincerely.
75 coupons gets you a week's worth of wake up calls from the group. So that's 7 days.
Define.
That's like $600.
Yeah, and that's like one wake up call per group
per member of the group. Yeah.
Let me sleep.
Yeah.
Call me back in 5 minutes.
If you're a sound sleeper, you screw yourself over $600.
Yeah. Can you imagine how many people they would have to call? Like if like everybody gets like to that tier.
It's probably pre-recorded. It doesn't have the quote unquote just for you.
Can you imagine that, like they're like actually like calling people? It's like, oh, it's 9:30 at night and this person hasn't been called yet. They must be so late for work.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's do this. I don't mind giving wake-up calls, people. Come on, fans. Who wants a glitch wake-up call?
Yeah. All right.
For $600, you can get Dylan to wake you up. You can get me to wake you up. Andrew, John, and Sean.
No.
This is a good idea.
Yeah, Sean will just get to Sean's stand. It'll just be silent.
Are you awake yet?
Yeah.
Too bad.
It'll be a pre-recorded message of one of us in the background just going, Sean, just do it.
Yeah.
This is our Patreon prizes now.
I'm not doing it.
All right. This is ridiculous.
Are there more tiers?
Yes, yeah. There's about 7.
We're only like halfway through.
Good God!
Okay, so for 100 coupons, it's $800. Mm-hmm. A photography session, quote unquote, just for you, with homemade cookies.
Mm.
Fuck.
We're gonna throw in some homemade cookies. Don't you worry.
All right. Hold on. Now, I just want to.
You can stalk these people better.
Now, I have a question. That's true. Like, because each one of these things that you buy is a song, right?
It's one song.
Is it
the same song?
It's the same song. Probably. It's one single.
That's what I was going to ask.
I
was like,
the same song 800 times.
Yes.
My iPad will be a just would blow the fuck up out of spite.
There's no band that good. There's no band that good.
I can't even listen to Journey 800 times.
Why do you
times.
Think the band is disbanding?
Okay, that better be a point. Damn good. That better be the Eagle Mope is just.
Okay.
Thank you, Glitch.
So we still got like five more. For 150 coupons, an hour long phone call. So,
well, okay, I feel like the last tier is better than that. Who likes talking on the phone?
Unless you get
all
these
things. No, I got
questions.
Me and Sean apparently have serious questions to ask.
Yeah, unless you get all these things.
Right. Well, to me, that was like comparable of something that you would actually get on like a Kickstarter of that level.
Right.
Yeah.
So that one didn't piss me off.
Okay. I mean,
is it like, you know, a Kickstarter where you get this tier prize and everything below it? Or
I want to say yes. I want to say
yes. I really
want
to hear
but...
the song now, though.
Yeah, I know.
That's true. I do want to hear
the song.
How
long is the song?
30
it's
seconds.
800 hours. 300 coupons get you a lunch for two with ear cleaning included. And by the way, ear cleaning
is you have to clean your ears after you listen to their single that thousand times.
It's actually
after you listen to it like a thousand times, yeah.
The act of ear cleaning in Japan is actually very romantic.
Yeah.
So
like extremely romantic.
It's $2,400 romantic.
500 coupons gets you a dinner for two with ear cleaning and a visit to a photo sticker booth included. So apparently a lunch is less romantic than a dinner.
All right, so
wait, you don't know that?
Yeah, they're gonna go to a lottery and get a 30-pound burger. Yeah.
I'm sorry, there is no star that I would go pay. I would pay over $4,000 just to hear their song that many times to see them.
I still
that's
feel
not
like
true.
I'd be...
That's not true. I can think of one person I would do that for, and that's David Hasselhoff.
Do people not even consider doing that for a day?
David Hasselhoff would expect you to do that for him as well.
I think I had a dream.
See, that's my point.
Where I'm not David Hasselhoff.
And then okay, we're in the final two tiers now. For
home stretch.
For 1,000 coupons, you get a day-long date, perhaps with fireworks. You maybe get
fireworks.
You maybe get fireworks.
What? You can't even commit to fireworks for that much money?
At least give me some damn
homemade
cookies.
Look, it depends on what they mean by fireworks.
If you hand me a sparkler, I'm smacking you.
the little black snakes that just...
Look, it's going to be like a shameful open palm just right across the cheek. Slap.
You get one bottle rocket.
And finally,
screamer.
For 2,000 coupons... That's
a
like,
reach around by each of the members.
$16,000. Yeah. You get... a trip to a hot spring
and a lifetime
with the
of regret.
Entire group. A trip to a hot spring with the entire group.
Although mixed bathing is out of the question.
Does it really say
no.
that?
No. Fuck that. If I'm paying that much.
Glitch like knocked the wall over.
Oh my gosh.
Taking pics, posting on Instagram. I don't care.
And it's
It'll
like
be a live webcam. I'm just gonna make my money back on.
Yeah, and then there's like the entire time that they're at that hot springs trip, they're doing hour long conversations and wake up calls.
The wake up calls.
Are you on a date
no,
with another guy with possible fireworks right now?
Oh wait, we have a dinner with a photo booth.
Well, you could make your money back that way.
Wait,
like. Do the webcam thing?
Yeah.
You mean film them without their knowledge? Is that what you're saying?
Maybe.
Like a crime?
Like, you know, like a crime?
Look, charging $16,000 for this is a crime. For the same damn song.
Yeah, 2,000 times the same song.
I think we're breaking even on crime.
Oh my gosh, this is the best conversation we've ever had on this show.
This doesn't pay to see you naked. You've already ear raped me. 2,000 times.
Well, they can clean your ears if you're part of the other tier. If you get an additional couple hundred coupons, you can go on the hot springs date and get your ears cleaned.
Oh my god.
Well, this got wildly out of hand.
Yeah, you can even say that that's as strange as it gets.
Wow, that was amazing.
Oh my god. What was that band's name again, real quick?
Deep Girl.
Oh, of course it was.
Guess what I'm Googling now.
Damn it, I hate you guys.
I feel like $8 to get the single and shake their hands would be enough.
That's true. Yeah. The one coupon meet and greet is going
to
be a thing.
If you
and
get to shake all their hands, I'd say that's definitely worth it. That's like $1 per hand almost.
No, it's a little bit more. There's 7 of them and 8
well,
of your dollars.
Well, the extra one's for the song. It's $1 for the song and then $1 to shake each of their hands probably.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Yeah. All right. Dylan has made logic of this strange news.
Oh, God.
Thanks,
Damn it, Dylan.
Dylan.
Well, you know. I can't make any logic out of the last tier.
They really do have "just for you" in quotes. Oh my god!
They should have
a
winky
but
emoticon
I am
too.
That
was a good. That,
we're not saying there's anything wrong with the band. It's just that don't pay $16,000 for the hot springs trip, which sounds
it's just
awesome,
a really
way.
Weird, interesting way to market it.
No mixed bathing. It's not worth it.
If you have you've heard my rant about the whole no mixed bathing thing, but if you gotta pay $16,000 to go to do anything, just go to Japan and enjoy yourself. You might stumble across them.
That's
go
very
to a
true.
Concert. How about that?
And it's actually only like, yeah, to even just to get to Japan, it's only like $1,500. Never mind $16,000.
You can live it up. Get some Kobe beef, some fugu, VIP tickets to the. You can actually buy VIP tickets to their concert if you can.
You can drive the 1:1 scale Gundam. For that okay, so that's definitely as strange as it gets.
However, it might get a little bit stranger because it is time to move on to our finish of the week.
No, I was actually prepared that time.
Yes, I was. On time.
I was 100% prepared.
You didn't see it because we're doing audio. I hand cued him. Actually, you didn't, but, well, I mean, I...
Yeah. Guys, way to keep doing great radio by talking about things you're doing with your hands.
Yeah, yeah, right. Well, that's just it. It's signaling. That's how it works, man. Get on our level. So, Fetish of the Week it's actually a pretty simple one, and it's a trend that we've been seeing most often recently. Remember, we've gotten trends that are memes in Japan, like the pregnancy test, the yes pillow.
The subway.
Yeah, the subway thing, that one's a little bit different, a little bit more extreme, but yes, that is true. Well, now, people have been adding something else to their most favorite anime characters in order to claim them in a certain way.
They haven't already done because of Rule 34?
Yes. Well, it might have in some respects, but they're taking photos, like screen caps from their favorite anime, and they are putting bondage collars around their necks to claim ownership of them. Claim dominance over their favorite anime character. They are adding bondage collars around their neck with a chain that goes off screen to symbolize that they are hanging on to the chain.
I would love to see, like, a picture of that, like, somebody has it on their computer, and, like, the rest of the chain is coming out of the back of the computer, and they're holding it, like, yeah!
That is surprisingly tame for the fetish of the week.
Yeah, isn't it? I had a couple options. I found another one this week, too, that was somebody who turned toppings that you put on sushi into cute anime girls.
But that's like that's a normal thing. Like Moetan is such a normal thing now.
I know it is, but I mean like there's a shrimp girl, there's an egg girl, there's
egg
a
girl.
Tuna girl,
salmon roe girl, you know, poke 'em with chopsticks.
Oh.
But I don't know. The internet memes always seem to win for some reason.
Yeah, well it's because they explode over the internet.
My favorite one is still the ones where they Photoshop Joe Biden creepily like over their shoulder.
Yes. Yeah. That one was amazing.
Yeah,
those
that was
are
a
the
great
greatest.
One.
I'm still down for the Subway one. That's still my favorite.
Yeah, you know, Subway one is pretty amazing.
Will always hold a place in our hearts and our stomachs.
Hashtag
in other places.
Extra mayo. And that was Japan's Fetish of the Week!
I'm slightly disappointed.
You're slightly disappointed?
Yeah.
We covered it. We covered some ground here.
Okay.
I don't know, man. You were gone for the episodes that we did the whole Hestia trend. Hestia was amazing. That was friggin' awesome. She rocked the internet, and she still is. She's still, like, just going nuts on the internet.
Yeah, I actually found this trend now that people are changing their Google themes to change the O's in Google to Hestia's boobs.
Oh, God.
Wow. I don't know. Maybe that might explain what I'm into, but collars, okay, whatever.
That's just everyday life for you.
Yeah, Glitch is like, I'm always wearing my collar. Well, I don't get it.
Like a collar, okay. Anything special about the collar? Does it shock anything? No? Boring.
Let's talk about what we're watching.
Well, I actually picked up watching both Is It Wrong to Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon?
Oh, did you?
Yeah. I actually quite like it.
We're in college.
Yeah, I really, really, really enjoy that show as well. And Dylan, Hestia, am I right?
Yes, you are. There's several characters on that show.
Yeah, I'll say.
But I think your qualm about it was that you thought that Belle was kind of a bitch, but he doesn't actually bother me that much. Like, yes, he is kind of a cowardly character, but I think, like, he's slowly not...
Yeah, he wants to be strong.
Yeah, exactly. He's not...
I can't see that, but...
I think I'm okay with it because he's sort of, like, a coward that's clearly going to become a character that, like, may not be as cowardice as opposed to just being a straight-up annoying character.
Yeah.
But,
That's true.
Yeah, I like that, and I also picked up watching Food Wars as well.
Isn't it good?
Yeah, it's really funny.
Isn't that the one I'm thinking about?
It's a food porn.
It's, yeah.
That's
it's,
what I've been wanting to see. I need to see that
it's
one.
It's good. I don't
Two of my favorite
like many,
things in one thing.
I can't think of many comedy animes that I really enjoy, but like Food Wars, I've laughed out loud several times during each episode almost.
Yeah, nice. and then when they break down the actual cooking aspects of it, you're like, wow, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm really like
Food Wars is in my queue, but I haven't started watching it yet. I've still been watching Ed Otama and Danmachi. I've been catching up on Shirobako.
Everybody needs to watch Shirobako.
Shirobako is like one of the greatest shows I've ever seen.
Also on Crunchyroll for free. Yeah. Please watch it.
Yeah. I'm still watching Gargage on the Virtuous Planet
and
well, I've already seen it before. I'm rewatching it.
Well, I know that. I know. I'm just saying. I can't wait till the second movie comes out. I want to see the second movie so bad.
I'm thinking about taking the jump on Naruto.
I actually guess I do have something to add. Funny that you mentioned Naruto. I just recently, actually today of the recording, I read the third chapter of Naruto. Yeah, of Boruto, of Naruto Gaiden.
Boruto.
And it's good. I love it. But it's still, like, sitting in the back of my mind, I need to go read Shippuden. Like, I want to go...
It took place after Shippuden?
Huh? Yeah. This is after Shippuden, after the epilogue.
Yeah, Boruto is Naruto's son.
Anyone want to send me a link to that one, feel free to do so.
Yeah, I can do that. But it's really good. Right now it's following Sarada, but I think their plan is to make just a bunch of short stories... Like that kind of are a collective OVA of sorts, but in manga form.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it'll be really cool to see what they do with these extra characters after, you know, the whole Naruto universe or Shippuden universe is over. You know, Naruto's the Hokage now. It's just so cool. I it's really funny.
And fiction's aplenty.
But I love the idea of Naruto. I always have, but I've just never gotten around to it because I'm so far behind.
Is that what we're watching?
That's
what we're watching.
Then it is time to move on to our Tamagotchi,
which we're not doing a Tamagotchi this week. We're doing The Pitch.
We are doing The Pitch. This is the brainchild of...
Pitching it.
And Andrew.
This summer on NBC.
So Sean approached me and said, hey, do you have a Tamagotchi this week? And I said, no, what do you have in mind? And he said, well, I have this. And it was essentially we take an anime that we like... and probably preferably one we've all seen.
Majority of us.
Yeah, and make a live-action Western adaption to it, including actors and directors, all that kind of stuff.
So I pitched The Pitch.
Yes, you did. You pitched The Pitch. Now, we kind of did something similar to this, like episode 2 or 3 of the Wicked Anime Podcast, where we did live action adaptions, what would make a good one? You know, and we talked about, Cowboy Bebop, you know, was coming out, which was cool, but we would really like to see Big O, and we had Dylan casting John Hamm as Roger Smith, and it was the most perfect thing ever.
I forgot about that.
We're still all in agreement of that, right?
Like, oh,
yeah.
Hamm is, okay.
So, now that session. We kind of took our own shows and we're like, this is what I would like to see. But this time we're all talking about the same show and pitching what we think would make a perfect go at it. And for this episode of The Pitch, we are doing Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood Arc 1.
Yep.
So pretty much all of us have seen Brotherhood Arc 1, except for maybe Glitch. Did you?
It's been so long.
Have you seen Full Metal Alchemist? Because it's pretty much the same thing.
Yeah. So you're at least familiar with it. We're all familiar or have seen all of Full Metal Alchemist, and we all love it.
Victoria is gonna slay us for not having her on this episode.
I told her.
I tried to give her an out.
Yeah.
And you could ask her to when she has a chance to record hers, and then just put that at the end of this podcast if you want.
Yeah, I told her, you know, write it to us. But she just said, you know, I didn't think about it that much. I haven't thought about it, you know. But
yeah,
so really, I thought she would have thought about this 10 years ago.
I know, really.
She has like an updated list as the people get too old. She just puts new people in.
Yeah, she has people on deck. So here's how we're gonna do this. We're not going to go individually as ourselves and do our whole cast list. We're going to do one character at a time.
Yeah. I have the list. Do you want me to do the list as we go?
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll just go down the list and we'll do a round table of who we think it is and why. And then afterwards, we'll do the director.
Yes.
Who's going to direct this shiz. So, Sean, seeing that this is completely your brain baby, you may begin. Choose your character to start. Who are you pitching?
Okay, let's go ahead and start. Let's get the hardest ones out of the way, which is probably going to be like Ed, Al, and Winry.
Uh-huh.
So let's start with everybody's Eds. Anybody got an Ed?
Okay, I found it impossible to cast Edward Elric.
I did too. I did not.
It is impossible.
I didn't get one for any of those three.
So. I got one for each of them.
I did too. I got Ed. Yeah. I mean, I got Alphonse, and who was the other one?
Winry.
Winry. I got them too.
Yeah, okay. I did too. Oh, okay. I don't have Ed.
All right, so I'm gonna go ahead and throw mine out there, and I'll explain to you my choice and why.
Okay.
Which is, casting children is impossible because it's hard to cast children actors. They're just A, they don't stay young enough long enough, and B, like you kind of have to catch them while they're young.
Yep.
So if you're not in Hollywood, you're not seeing anybody. So you know. Duh. So what I did was I actually cast them a little bit older, as in Ed would be probably closer to 20 at this point.
Yes, I did the same thing.
Okay. Winry the same. My Ed is actually Zac Efron.
Really? Huh. See, really?
No. Give it a second.
Yeah, no.
See, I was thinking just to actually find somebody who's naturally shorter, and like the one I was going to go with it, but then I was just like, no, I'm not even going to bother with Ed.
Danny DeVito.
Was Elijah Jack. Wood.
See, and I had Elijah Wood for a different pick.
Really? Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. I was almost going to say the blonde, actually, I don't know if he's blonde in the Hunger Games, but like PETA in the Hunger Games.
Josh Hutcherson?
Josh Hutcherson. That's not a bad pick.
See, I actually thought about Josh Hutcherson too.
Because he's naturally short too.
And he's also kind of like feisty in that way that... You know, Ed is, too.
And he can carry that. I can see him doing that. That was a much better pick than mine. These three are my weakest three, I'll be honest.
No, I believe Winry is one of my strongest.
Yeah, me too.
Mine too. All right. My Al was Isaac Hempstead Wright. He's the guy that plays Bran, because it's only a voice.
Yeah, okay. So I have casted two people.
Okay. I can see
this
that.
Is Jonathan, you...
Yeah. Ahead. Okay, my voice for Al... I have two picks. One, I just said for the voice, just keep it Maxie Whitehead.
Yeah, that's not a bad plan.
The voice actress who played him in the series. Or, if it has to be somebody from Hollywood, the only person I could find who could do it would be Noah Ringer, who was.
Good pick.
Avatar: The Last Airbender.
I disagree with that. I thoroughly despise that kid.
So, okay. So here's my idea.
He was okay in Cowboys vs. Aliens. Okay. He was passable.
Still hate him.
Okay. So here's my deal. I went with Maxie Whitehead as well. I said voice is the same, but I am all about practical effects. Like I thought about
it. I need a suit actor, right?
Yeah. See, I said we need a suit actor for Al, and that is the Great Khali.
I didn't even think of that.
He's a professional wrestler.
I saw someone say he should be Sloth.
Ooh.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's mine. I say Maxie Whitehead is but Great Khali as a suit actor.
I said Vin Diesel as a suit actor for us.
So this was my just to keep it moving because we have a long list. Winry, I actually said Dakota Fanning.
No. I said Elle Fanning. No, I said
Elizabeth. I think Elle Fanning's too young.
I said Elizabeth Olsen.
I disagree with her as well. She's too mature.
Emma Watson, how about her?
I also would. Yeah, I feel like I would like to see Elizabeth Olsen too, only because I like her a lot. But yeah, I agree with Sean. I feel like she's kind of mature, and who knows? Maybe she could play a more feisty, comedic character, or like, you know, get that side across. But I agree more with one of the Fanning girls, maybe.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I also have two alternatives to Elle Fanning: Abigail Breslin or Chloe Mortez.
Ooh, I like Abigail Breslin more.
Emma Watson could work too. Glitch, isn't that what you said?
Emma Watson?
Yeah,
I think that's what his suggestion was.
Yeah, I do. I really like Emma Watson, but
I just don't know that she's Winry.
Well, we're kind of casting.
She's not.
Anyway.
She's Emma Watson.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, I meant like I don't like when I see Emma Watson, I don't go, oh, that's Winry.
Right.
Well, a lot of kids don't go, oh, that's such and such too, though.
What's that?
Until they like make it their role.
True. I'm not disagreeing there, and that's definitely the director's job. I'm just saying that like if I was the casting director, she would not be my first pick.
Hmm.
You know, that would not be my first phone call.
Interesting. Yeah.
I want big doe eyes, and Emma Watson does not have big doe eyes.
You don't think so?
CGI.
No.
No. Emma Watson is a very stern, sharp look.
Yeah, she'd be a better reason. Like if she was a little older, she'd be a better Hawkeye.
That's true. Which we haven't gotten to Hawkeye yet, but
But we will. But we will soon.
Who do we want to do next?
Jeremy Renner.
You want to go ahead and drop Hawkeye into that one then?
Into Hawkeye?
Yeah.
Jeremy Renner. Who'd you pick?
Shut up, Dylan. Shut up.
He's got a family now, and people care about him.
And he also holds a gun eventually in this movie, and does that one pose he does when he holds a gun.
So this is one that I think I won.
Yeah.
Yeah. I put down Anna Torv.
I don't know who that is.
Anna
Fringe?
Who?
From Fringe? Who watches Fringe?
Anna Torv?
Yep, she played Olivia Dunham in Fringe.
Yeah, I remember her, yeah. Yeah, man, I can see that. I put, actually, I always forget how to pronounce her name, but she was the blonde chick on Chuck. Yvonne.
Oh, Stravosky?
Yeah.
That's pretty good, too.
Yeah, right. That's not a bad choice.
All right,
she'd be a great Lust.
No, I think I have a killer Lust.
I have a different Lust. I said for Risa Hawkeye that Keira Knightley would be a great Risa Hawkeye.
I disagree with that.
I'm kind of in the same boat.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I like Keira Knightley, but I don't think she could do it. Mine is actually really is going to surprise you all because I said
the
Scarlett
Rock.
Johansson.
I disagree.
I was wondering if someone was going to say Scarlett Johansson.
I'll bring this up later. But,
I think Scarlett Johansson, because Risa Hawkeye is a very deadpan, kind of robotic, does whatever Hughes says kind of girl. And she's a by-the-book soldier, you know? And that's what Scarlett Johansson can do.
I mean, I won't give you wrong. It's definitely in her wheelhouse, but I don't... She's... how do I put this? Like, a tad too voluptuous.
You think so?
Yeah.
Wait. Risa Hawkeye is a tad too voluptuous.
No. Scarlett Johansson.
Really?
Yeah, she's just
really
a little too feminine. Yeah,
yeah.
She's too sexy.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, she's a great femme fatale. Risa Hawkeye is not a femme fatale. She is a soldier.
Yeah, she's a soldier.
Oh my god, how did I not think of this before? Edge of Tomorrow.
Emily Blunt.
Oh yeah, that's kind of cool.
Oh, to IMDb. What's her name?
Emily
Blunt. What I just
Blunt.
Said.
Emily Blunt.
Yeah.
Doug, next Christ. Problem. I've already solved this one.
I said it first, though.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's a good call. I actually like that one too.
Yeah. Okay. We agree on Emily Blunt now.
Well, kind of. I'm still kind of stuck on Keira Knightley, but
not a bad backup. If you can't get Emily Blunt, I'm okay with Keira Knightley. But like, I want Emily Blunt now. Oh, awesome.
In a perfect casting world, I'm pretty sure every single casting director has said those very same words about an actor.
Yeah,
Anna Trove could almost be that other colonel that's like in the winter area.
Oh god, she would be a great Olivier.
Yeah,
yeah, Olivia Armstrong.
Yeah,
but she wouldn't show up in this movie though.
No,
that's later on. All right, so let's get to the piece de resistance. Mustang,
Roy Mustang. Is Keanu Reeves.
I hate you, and I'm going to slap you for that.
Roy Mustang is Keanu Reeves.
It's not Keanu Reeves.
It is.
It's Carl Urban, you son of a bitch.
Oh, man. They should. Carl Urban and Keanu Reeves need to have a fight.
Wait. Carl Urban can be Mustang if Keanu Reeves can be Greed.
Done. Actually, I will take that any day of the week.
Interesting.
Yeah. I like Carl Urban better than mine. I just copied mine from someone else's list that I was like, okay.
What'd you say?
They said Joseph Gordon-Levitt, but I think he might be a little too young. If he was older, maybe.
Yeah, I think he's a little too young.
Oh, he'd be a great Greed, too.
Yeah, he would be a good Greed, too.
Although, I was thinking that after Greed gets his second form, you know, his second identity form, I would have picked Donnie Yen.
Yeah.
Oh, is the Chinese prince?
Yeah.
Ling?
Is that Ling? Yeah, that's Ling. Yeah.
But he's way too old.
Donnie Yen is getting really old. I know he is. A younger Donnie Yen would work much better, but
He probably still looks 20 years younger than what he actually is.
My second pick for that one, though, was Stephen Amell from Arrow.
I'm not familiar.
Is that the guy who plays Arrow?
Yeah, it's the guy that plays Arrow.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I still like Carl Urban better.
I like Carl Urban better too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
He does that focused, dark, just I'm getting the job done. I could see him killing Lust is
like,
my thing.
Yeah.
He has the face shape too. Like it really works.
Yeah, he seems like he could be the like lovable asshole kind of.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's pretty much his character in Arrow.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting.
So on to Hughes.
Okay, Hughes was really tough.
No, I did not cast Hughes. I just could not think someone else. Of someone.
Okay, so dude. I cast Hughes as Johnny Depp.
Yes. I'm actually okay with that.
Yeah, but Johnny Depp
they
would
put Sarah Bellon Carter in it somewhere.
Johnny Depp would take the Hughes character in a different direction. He wouldn't be like the look at my daughter, so you know, like I love my family sort of guy. He would be like a really nice guy, but he wouldn't do that.
I could see like Ed Helms doing it.
Really?
Oh man.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, I can.
Oh wow.
Sat on that for a second and you're right.
The one I found online was they said Josh Radnor, who is the guy who plays Ted in How I Met Your Mother.
Oh, God, that would not be a bad... Yeah. It might be, like, the only thing I like him in.
Yeah, that should be a good idea, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not against it. Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of like the Ed Helms idea, too, though. It's like, you guys, you should look at my daughter. Like, she's beautiful.
I also know that he's capable of, like, depth. Comedic actors tend to be, like, really good actors.
Yeah.
Because comedy is hard.
Yeah, it is.
So, like, he has the kind of look going on, and, like, he could totally be that guy.
Oh, man, Charlie Day should be Edward Elric.
No. No.
Oh, God. And Danny DeVito is Alphonse.
It's Always Sunny in Full Metal Alchemist.
All right. Awesome. So Lust was another one that I thought I won.
Title for this episode.
Lust was another one that I thought I won, so I want to hear what you guys said first.
All right.
I did.
This is where I think you guys would be surprised, because I said Scarlett Johansson should be Lust.
I'm more okay with her as Lust.
I'm more okay with that as well, but I don't know, I like mine better.
Okay.
Eva Green.
Ooh, good choice.
Give an example for Eva Green.
She's, I don't know what you've, might, it probably just better to Google her, but she's right, she's on a show right now called Penny Dreadful. The last time I saw her in something,
she was also in Casino Royale.
She was the love interest in Casino Royale. Yeah, you just said that, right?
Yep.
Yeah, god damn it.
She was the chick in the second 300 movie. She's, she actually does quite a bit of stuff.
Yeah, so it seems. Oh, she was in the second Sin City movie.
Yeah.
I wonder who saw that.
She's really running topless a lot in that, so there's that.
Now I gotta see it.
Interesting.
But yeah, not a bad choice. I actually really, really like that, Dylan.
Yeah.
What do you have?
Mine was Laura Prepon.
It's Betty White.
Laura
who?
Laura Prepon from Orange is the New Black.
Oh, yeah, I know, and That 70s Show. That's an interesting pick.
Oh, yeah,
well, she has that more mature look to her, but I think that Eva Green has the
realm that we're looking for.
Oh, go check out Laura Prepon again. Some of the
Well, I did. Yeah. I mean, I see it. I see it. I know what you're talking about.
But he's a bigger fan of Ava Green, and he just wants to see Ava Green. Damn it.
I don't know. It's a tough choice.
I think both would do really well. I think when it comes to like that silky, sultry, like Ava Green is just like intensely sexual.
Yeah,
I was aiming for more intensely sensual.
Mm. I think either would work.
I do. I agree. I think Ava Green was a fantastic pick.
Yeah.
All
right.
Did you have one glitch?
Nope.
Okay.
He's just listening. He's listening and commenting, making a good commentary.
Okay. Envy.
Okay. I didn't cast Envy.
I got one, and you guys are gonna disagree with me, and I don't give a shit.
Okay.
Okay.
Nicholas Holt.
No, that's fine. He was the skag dude in Mad Max Fury Road.
He was nuts.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So I guess
now he's going to be a little bit taller than you would think of as Envy, but like doing somebody of that height is kind of actually hard.
Yeah, and I bet you that he would make a really good androgynous character too. See, and that was actually what I was kind of thinking.
I was thinking female characters.
Yeah, like you cast a female, but do the ADR as a male.
And I did that as well. Like I thought about that as well. The other person that I came to was also this is where I had. What's his name? Elijah Wood slotted in again.
Interesting. As Envy.
Really?
I don't think he's thin enough.
He could stop eating for a while. I kind of like Elijah Wood better.
Go on machinist diet?
Yeah, I had both. It was just his Nicholas Holt's performance is nuts. And that frenzied kind of...
Yeah.
And he goes between being hurt and then that crazy and then hurt and that crazy. I was like, that is Envy. That is really Envy.
I like that. Yeah. Envy is like one of the greatest characters on that show.
Yeah, he's a tearjerker. So so that was my Envy. I mean, that was all I really had there. I didn't really do Greed because I forgot that was he really in the first arc?
No, he wasn't. No,
he didn't come in until the second one.
Yeah, but what about Sloth? Sloth or Gluttony? Gluttony.
I didn't do Gluttony at all.
Gluttony, Andy Serkis.
Yeah.
I couldn't really think of anything. Like, it's just, it's such a comedic character that I don't even know.
Gluttony's going to be CG. Gluttony's going to just be CG. Yeah, they're going to get Andy Serkis and he's going to be CG. Yeah, I agree with
that. But Andy Serkis will think the whole time that he's responsible for all the work.
Yeah.
So the next big one that I had was Fuhrer King Bradley.
Okay. Yeah. Oh. Wait. For this one, everybody on three, say who they would cast as Fuhrer Bradley.
I have three picks.
Hold on a second. Okay. Let me Google.
But there's only one right pick.
Okay. Ready? Yeah. Ready? One, two, three.
Tom Selleck. Oh, Tom Selleck was on my list.
No, Tom. There's nobody who can do it except for Tom Selleck. He looks exactly like him.
He's also like 70 now.
That's fine.
No. I wanted somebody that could do the. The fighting too,
but in arc one there is no fighting. In arc one, if we made a Full Metal Alchemist movie, the movie would end with that reveal.
So you still have to do it then.
Being King Brady,
I guess. Yeah, he would eventually still have to do it, but
I think he could.
Yeah, have you seen Blue Bloods?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, Tom Selleck in Blue Bloods is like,
I don't watch any cop dramas.
So I had a couple other picks here. Okay. Go ahead, Dylan. Sorry.
Daniel Day-Lewis. I just found a photoshopped image of him. I was like,
So here were my other picks because I went through a couple different variations of this. Russell Crowe is what I actually settled on.
Yeah, that's not bad.
I think it could work. I wanted the acting talent is what I wanted. The other
acting
two
talent. Tom Selleck.
The other two, I had Liam Neeson. No, he sounds
like
him.
That. I don't like that.
Okay, fair enough.
I could see that.
And then this one, in a weird kind of a turn of events, where like if we were to cast him a little bit younger, Michael Fassbender.
I just like Michael Fassbender for
just whatever.
Being a great actor.
Yeah, he could be several characters. He could be probably like Greed or.
Oh, God, he'd be an amazing Greed.
Yeah. Or even Benedict Cumberbatch for Greed or something.
Yeah, right.
Someone actually online thinks that John Hamm would make a good Colonel Bradley, or Fuhrer Bradley.
See,
I'd have to see him with a mustache.
Yeah, I would have to see him with a mustache.
You ruin that angelic visage with a mustache?
See, it's true. It's true. John Hamm as anything is fine with me, but, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, that was... I went all over the place with that one, but I do agree Tom Selleck is the right pick. And then my last one, the last thing on our list is we have to do Scar.
Yeah, Scar.
What about
Scar was probably the hardest thing I had to cast.
Yeah, Scar was actually pretty easy for me. But yeah, we did forget Armstrong. He is a pretty important part.
Oh yeah. Oh, I didn't want to do like every single character. I was trying to hit the high notes.
Well, Armstrong's a pretty big one.
Yeah, I know, but Armstrong is pretty important.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, I do have Scar, though. I do have Scar.
John Hamm ain't that bad with a mustache.
All right, so who's your guys' Scar?
Okay, so I had two. For the acting points for Scar, I said Tom Hardy. For the fighting points of Scar, I said Jason Statham.
Glitch just sent us all a photo of John Hamm with a mustache. Yeah, I take that. I don't agree with that.
Wait, you don't agree with what?
John Hamm having a mustache.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no.
It ruins him.
It also looks like his hair is almost parted in the middle. It's just kind of weird, too.
I don't like either of those, I'll be honest.
Well, which ones did you say? I'm sorry, I was distracted by mustache.
I said Tom Hardy from an acting perspective, but from a fighting perspective, because Scar fights a lot, and he's like a really martial arts fighter, I said Jason Statham.
I was actually going to say Jason Momoa for Scar.
And I'm on board with that one.
Really? That was your pick?
Yeah, that was one of my two picks, yeah.
Well, my pick...
Interesting.
The Rock?
Yeah. Yeah, yes, it was The Rock.
Nice.
It was Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Yeah, that was my pick for Scar.
I think
that's like the obvious answer, though.
I know it is, but I think he could do it.
I don't know. I can't see him playing such a stern, brooding character. There's always, every time I see The Rock, there's always such a goofy element to him.
Yeah. He's just so big, he's unbelievable.
Well, yeah, Jason Momoa, I think, wins.
Yeah.
Well, I have a second one.
Okay.
And this was kind of all right, so Ishvalans have dark skin, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
We don't really see any black people in this show, do we?
No.
What?
No, there is. There's that black girl from the from the village that has no legs.
But no, I was going like to say, three, maybe? I would really like to see Idris Elba.
As Scar?
That would be pretty cool, actually.
See who?
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think so, man.
Wait, who?
I don't know.
Idris Elba, he was, darn it.
Heimdall, man.
He's the gatekeeper.
Yeah, I couldn't see that
Thor.
One either. Hmm? Yeah, Idris Elba? Nah.
Yeah.
He's a little too smooth.
Oh, I think he could do Ragged.
Oh,
okay.
Is
look
super
at him
smooth.
In freaking Pacific Rim.
Yeah, see, I don't know. I feel like they were more going for a Middle Eastern vibe with the Ishvalans.
Yeah,
I'm just throwing ideas around out there. I'm not trying to, I mean, because that race doesn't exist in real life. So
I know.
Racism, Sean.
I'm not being racist.
Stop blackwashing all of our shows.
I'm not. You're the one denying the role. Ed should be played by Donald Glover.
The Ishvalans are real. Oh my god.
Actually, holy shit.
I actually, it's funny that you said Tom Hardy because I actually thought of him for Armstrong.
Yeah, that would be so much better.
Oh my god, he would be brilliant as Armstrong.
I don't know if you've seen Bronson, but he basically looks exactly like.
No, I've seen. Well, because that's where I first saw Tom Hardy was Bronson.
Yeah.
And,
I got a thought about this one. What about Roman Reigns?
Gotta look it up.
From WWE.
We're Googling.
Oh, you're talking about for Scar?
Yeah.
Link.
Yeah, he almost
looks
exactly
like
Jason Momoa.
Yeah.
So can we just get Jason Momoa then?
Yeah.
Gotta have a backup plan.
I don't know.
Well, part of the thing that I was gonna do too was I wouldn't even make him shave his head. I would just have them dye the dreads white. Just to kind of throw a little spin on the character,
right?
give it a little
so
fun.
You don't run into the problem that the Dead or Alive movie had, which was people are just cosplaying.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know. Like, I want it to feel lived in. I want it to feel, you know, cool.
Yeah.
Did you have any other for Armstrong?
I didn't have anything for Armstrong.
I think now that we swapped out Tom Hardy for Armstrong, I think that's where it wins.
Yeah.
And Tom Hardy's just amazing, so yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I mean, the last thing on our list is the thing that brings it all together.
Yeah,
who would you guys have direct it?
For my director, I said I have no freaking idea.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because, obviously the only thing that was sticking in my head was George Miller after watching friggin' Mad Max. But I thought about it for a little bit. Because, I mean, if you watch Mad Max, he shot Mad Max like an 80s film. And that would really work for Full Metal Alchemist.
I disagree
more. Yeah, I don't know about that.
Really? Because, yes. I mean, like, the really steady shots and the really wide angles.
I have two people in mind that I think would do a better job.
I have one. Well, anything is better because I didn't think about it.
Well, that so. It was also stuck in your head, like.
Yeah.
I think he did well with Mad Max because Mad Max is exactly that kind of movie.
Well, yeah. that's his brainchild.
That's his.
Yeah, exactly. So. And then now, what you have to remember is Full Metal Alchemist is actually gothic horror slash action.
Yeah. So what do you got?
Two picks were my first pick. The thing that I think the person that would handle it the best. Is Guillermo del Toro.
You really? You're so right. I can't believe he's like my favorite director ever, and I
don't think so.
No?
No.
Yeah, I don't know about that one either.
I don't think he could do it because Guillermo del Toro is much slower paced than.
Well, he is, but he also likes to make like everything look like a fantasy book.
Yeah. But everything's a slow burn, and Full Metal Alchemist is not.
Full Metal
slow burn.
Alchemist also isn't. It doesn't to me look like a fantasy book. It looks like a more.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's where my issue is.
Oh,
with
I got
it,
you.
Is he makes everything look
like
a fantasy book.
I'm thinking of Hellboy 2 is kind of where I got a lot of my. I mean, but that was my first pick. My second pick is I think the actual right pick, which is I think James Cameron.
They don't like James Cameron.
What about
they could be
Norrington.
Wrong. He does good work.
Who did you say, Glitch?
Stephen Norrington, the dude who directed Blade. Maybe first Blade.
No.
Well, that's not a... Not, yeah, it's a little too close quarters. My pick is somebody who can do dark stories, but also adds a mix of kind of childlike whimsical, and he also can do close quarters and large scale.
You just described Guillermo del Toro.
I was about to say,
yeah,
you literally
did
just
describe Guillermo del Toro.
Maybe I did, but I think you might get a little better idea once I say who it is. Brad Bird.
I don't think he does the dark as well.
Yeah, he doesn't do dark very well.
Well,
I think you're right on almost everything except for the fact that he won't do gothic horror.
He won't go dark enough. You don't think
yep.
he'll go dark enough?
Well, he doesn't. He also doesn't do fantasy. Like I know he does fantasy if it exists in the real world.
You know who I think I would maybe like to see is Rian Johnson. Maybe
examples.
He did Looper and another movie that you guys should actually watch called Brick, because Brick actually. Was like a movie that was like, this is kind of like an anime, because it's like a noir crime thriller, geez, that takes place in a high school. So it's like a high school student figuring out this murder, I think. It's been a while since I've seen it.
Huh.
But that he's a great director, and he's going to direct Star Wars Episode 8 and 9, I think, or maybe just 8.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll check him out. Brick? That sounds interesting.
Brick and Looper are...
Okay. Wait, we haven't seen Looper.
Yeah, I haven't seen Looper.
I've seen Looper. I'm just trying to... That one's such a... It's such a different movie.
But there's a stop... There's a pocket watch in Looper. He knows pocket watches, so... Full Metal Alchemist.
Oh, that's ridiculous. I'm not against it. I still think that, like, Del Toro is the best bet. He has everything you need to make that movie.
Yeah,
right.
As long as he doesn't pull out his art book for it. Like
he could for doing the alchemy though.
Yeah,
like Ed's spear that he pulls out of the ground and like the landscapes, like when they go to the oasis,
yeah.
or that one, the iron alchemist who hits the ground and the cannons come out.
Yeah.
All that stuff he would be brilliant at. The story and the pacing that he would need to do, I don't know if he could achieve it.
Mm.
As long as he's not writing the script,
he does. He does know anime, though.
Yes, he does. Yeah.
We're guaranteed to know that we can be comfortable with him because he knows anime.
Do you want to hear my joke?
Yes. Yes. What's your joke, Dylan?
Okay, so my joke casting for director and some of the cast is Wes Anderson's Full Metal Alchemist, and it would be Ed would be Owen Wilson, and Al would be Luke Wilson, and Winry would be Gwyneth Paltrow, and Bill Murray would be in there somewhere.
Yeah. Bill Murray is Fuhrer Bradley.
Yes, Fuhrer Bradley, exactly.
Because he'll only be in the movie for a couple minutes.
Or no, wait, Gene Hackman comes out of retirement to play Fuhrer Bradley.
I like it.
I would pay money to see that movie.
And yeah, it's like that, like that one song that's always with those trailers. It's like
and it's just a lot of people running and panning side shots.
Wow,
funny.
You're just a full suit of armor.
Wow.
Oh, good God.
Wow. I wasn't expecting to lose my leg. Wow.
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 But he still has that nose.
Oh,
that's it. That's what we got, everybody.
Scratch
thanks
all
for
the,
coming out.
The previous stuff. That's it.
Yeah.
Wes Anderson does Full Metal Alchemist.
Ben Stiller is Mustang. I'm just looking at my Royal Tenenbaums poster and recasting them.
Exactly. That's basically Wes Anderson's entire cast. It's like, well, who do I have to pick from? And he looks at his Royal Tenenbaum poster. And it's like, who do I have to pick from?
And there's just an X over Gene Hackman. He's like, oh, he doesn't work anymore.
Oh, that's great.
All right. Some fan service?
Yeah. So we're going to crack open our fan service section, discuss what you guys had sent to us. So first up comes from Gerardo. What's up, Gerardo? We're going to be playing Monster Hunter with you in just a couple hours. He discusses what he thought was disturbing in anime from our what we think is disturbing. We actually got a lot of really great responses from you guys about what was disturbing, psychologically disturbing events in anime for you guys. So the first thing he said was Krillin's first death from the original Dragon Ball series.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, he said he knows he might sound silly that, like, it has a magical dragon, wish him back to life, but he was, like, 8 when this happened. So, like, when he was 8-year-old mind, like, seeing this giant dragon, like, over the death of Krillin and then bringing him back to life, that'd probably be pretty creepy.
You didn't know that they could bring anything back to life over and over again at that point.
That was the first death.
Yeah. So, next up, he says, like, more recently that disturbed him was Madoka Magica. I don't know if any of you guys have watched Madoka Magica, but I watched the whole thing in, like, one sitting. It's really, really messed up. Like, it's a magical girl series that hides itself in a psychologically disturbing, messed up world that's just so horrifying. And I can understand that, because after I sat through it for 6 hours in one sitting, watched the whole series, and I kind of didn't feel like myself after watching it.
What did you feel like?
I felt like killing myself.
I feel like that, like, after 2 or 3 episodes of Criminal Minds.
Well, it was...
So it was rough.
It was kind of like how you watch the end of Evangelion 2, and you're just like, oh, man, I do not feel good. Like, I
need to go lie down.
and maybe not get up for a couple hours. Days. Couple days. All right, and then he jumps back a little bit. Back to episode 61. He's where we're talking about the different type of congoers. And he said that he was also the kind of congoer that loves to meet the voice actors, the directors, and all the special guests that go to conventions. Loves getting things signed, but also likes spending time in exhibit halls and panels.
Yeah. So he's kind of like a mix of what Victoria was.
Yeah, he really was.
That one that we had to make up because they didn't have it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. We did have to do that. He also jumps into hotels, and he says he has a hotel horror story.
Ah, yeah, those are the best.
He had a hotel, and a friend of his invited 2 other random people to hang out in the room. Like, that already is, like, not okay to do. I mean, it is when you inform somebody that you're doing this, but when you're bringing random people back to your room, generally that's not okay.
Yeah, we've had terrible experiences with that.
Yeah. So they decide to bring an Xbox and play Halo at 9 p.m. at night, and you're at a convention. 9 p.m. at night's pretty late.
Bringing an Xbox in the first place is a stupid
idea.
Yeah,
that's a really stupid idea. If you're going to play Xbox the whole time you're at a convention, like...
At least bring a PlayStation.
That's right, right? They were getting complaints from the neighbors because they were being so loud at this hotel. And then he asked them to be quiet. They never did. So he got up and he unplugged the TV on them. Yeah. Good on you, Gerardo.
Yeah.
That's how you do it.
Fist fights.
Yeah, he unplugged the TV and said, you guys got to leave.
Nice.
So afterwards he said he got some not so kind words from them, and needless to say, nobody is friends anymore. Welcome to conventions and hotel rooms.
Conventions are fun!
So, and then of course, Aitor messaged us, our wicked fan over in the Iceland areas.
Aitor.
Whatever.
Send us an MP3 of how to pronounce your name.
Yeah. That would be the best fan service ever, is if we just play an MP3 of him saying his own name.
Yeah, every time we got a message from, and then it'd just be him saying it.
Aitor.
All right. And he said that he also has a psychologically disturbing moment. It is not from anime, though. It is from a Russian video game called The Void. Now, this is when it was translated into English. It's really hard to get. But he said that it's like from like a spirit of person that's starved to death. You're basically like going through this weird hell-like world that's like really messed up, he said. Sisters and brothers. The sisters are beautiful, scantily clad women, and the brothers are monstrous in every letter of the name, he said. And so you're going through this weird world, and it's got you trapped in there for so long that when you finally reach the surface, like, and see civilization, your brain, like, is just like, I'm seeing something normal. It's like he said that was really just messed up to him, and he doesn't know how to explain that kind of a feeling.
I want to try this.
Yeah.
I want to try this game. I'm going to look for YouTube videos on this game, The Void.
The Void, yep.
Yeah. I'm gonna look for YouTube videos, see if I can find a walkthrough. I want to see what he means by monstrous, what he means by, you know, the feelings that he gets when you see, like, something real. Like, something that can mess you up when you see something finally real is interesting.
Yep. Next, our wicked fan Robert sent us a message just to notify us that that John Wick 2 was finally officially announced.
Yeah, that's important news.
Yeah, we did know about that, but it's good to point out to the fans that they want to point it out to us. To be like, hey, John Wick 2's out, guys. And we're like, yeah, it is. And we do a mental high five.
And they're also going forward with Shanghai Dawn with Jackie Chan and Owen Wilson to fill out that trilogy.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Wow.
You know, wow.
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 Wow, those stunts, Jackie.
Wow. Wow. All right. And then over the last weekend, 3 weeks ago now, we had...
from the recordings 3 weeks ago from...
Yeah, from the Nerdy Show Patreon meetup. We were at the Nerdy Show Patreon meetup, and we had a couple fans on there that we were talking to, one being Temsu, who wanted to reach out to us and say, hey, you guys are doing a great job. Like, the past couple of months of Wicked Anime have just been perfect.
And on point. Yeah, I really like hearing that from fans. Because, I mean, when we get silent fans who you know, when we get messages from people who we haven't heard from before, that's good in one thing. But when we get a message from them saying that what we're doing is right, is an even better thing.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, I know there was another person there who also said... Hey, like, yeah, I agree. You guys,
but there
are
were a
great.
Lot of people at that meetup, though.
Yeah, so it was all jumbled in, and I missed your name specifically who said that. So I'm sorry, but thank you. We just to let you know, it's very much appreciated. We love getting that kind of feedback. And of course, we have our wicked fan Keto. Keto messages us and says he doesn't have a psychologically disturbing anime per se, but he said psychologically disturbing to his own noggin is the fact that he sat through all of Mironiki in his very keto response.
Yeah, future diary / Mironiki is...
And so Keto knows us, too, that we have a huge problem with Mironiki as well as an anime, and says, hey, I'm pushing you guys right now that you gotta make a video on Mironiki. And... Funimation has a licensing to that, so the second we even put anything up about Mironiki on our channel, they're gonna flag us. So we're gonna have to get creative with that. But I really, really, really want to go ahead and do that. So he said, passive aggressive shots fired. I believe that is all of our fan service that we have. That's all I remember. So if I miss anything, I'll look you up later. Thank you very much for sending us. We always love hearing from you guys. Hey, you know, shout out to silent fans. Like, we meet silent fans all the time now, and you guys really seem to like us. Seriously, anytime you want, just anything, even if you're just saying, hi, I really like your show, shoot us a message. Please, silent fans, we want to hear from you.
Or keep
you guys are
rating and reviewing on iTunes, too, if that helps.
Yeah.
We know,
that's true.
We often forget to plug that, but that helps.
Yeah, for sure.
And I'm nicer than I sound.
He's not quieter, though.
No, I have one volume.
So that was our conversation, guys, of the pitch. So maybe you guys can email us and or message us somewhere on the internet. Let us know, hey, do you agree with some of our picks? Maybe you can pull bits and pieces from our casting choices. And
we had a lot of trouble with the directors. So
yeah.
So if anybody knows of any good directors and recommend us some movies. I like movies.
Yeah. So email, you can email us at wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. That's wickedanimereviews@gmail.com.
Also, if you just want to suggest for future pitches an anime that you would like to hear us stumble through pitching actors.
I have like four animes lined up, by the way.
Yeah, we do have a good list of animes that have not been westernly adapted yet.
Cool.
Yeah.
So we have a couple of rules for the ones that we pick.
Yes.
Even though this first one broke it.
All right.
I was like, no children. He's like, Full Metal Alchemist. I was like, son of a bitch.
I had to do one that we've all seen.
We've all seen Outlaw Star.
I know, but I wasn't prepared for Star. Like, the second you finished talking to me about the pitch idea, I started writing my casting list for Full Metal Alchemist, and you're like, well, we could do Outlaw Star, and I was halfway done. I was like,
Wes Anderson's Outlaw Star. Ben Stiller is Gene.
Starwin?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, so...
And it starts.
Okay. You guys can also find us at facebook.com/wickedanime, where we post. We have news articles from around the internet. You guys can talk to us. You can find out what's up with our videos. You can also find us at nerdyshow.com/wickedanime, where you are either listening to this podcast right now, if you're not listening to it on SoundCloud/wickedanime, or iTunes. And you can also find our videos there, where you can also find our videos at youtube.com/wickedanimereviews. You can also find us at twitter.com, where you can tweet at us at @yowickedanime. Finally, you can find us at tumblr.com/wickedanime, where we tumble things that are funny, mostly Peter Pan and Monster Hunter.
They're pretty funny.
They are pretty funny. We do enjoy that Tumblr trash heap. Hate Tumblr, man. All right, guys. Thank you very much for joining us this week for the Wicked Anime Podcast. We hope you liked our new ideas. Keep an eye out for a survey. One more shameless plug that we need to mention. June 27th, Wicked Anime Live at the Geeky Tea. This is a shout out to all of our Orlando fans. If you are in Winter Park in Orlando District, come to Cimarron Boulevard, where we're going to be at the Geekeasy at a comic shop, where we are going to be doing the hardcore anime panel live.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but it's going to be all of us.
It is, yeah. It's like, everybody who you hear today on this show, it will
is
be going to
be there.
Yeah. So
you know, Victoria said that she even might try to make it down, too. So there might be six of us.
Yeah, and she has seen the hardcore anime. Well,
she hates it.
Quote unquote.
That's perfect. She totally needs to be there.
Yeah, quote unquote has seen the hardcore anime panel.
Yeah, more like she's seen the inside of her shirt while our panel is going on.
Yeah.
Girls.
It's also going to be a 21 and over only event. Is that correct?
You can make it in if you're 18 and over.
Oh, okay.
But we're going to be adding a interesting drinking game aspect to it to help the Geekeasy out. As far as that goes.
Push some beers.
Yeah.
We're gonna die.
Well, we're not. You guys.
Yeah, they don't drink. They're the ones making up the game.
No, actually, Aaron was the one who was like all about that. So we agreed to it. You know, we gotta help out our Geekeasy there. So 18 plus to enter, 21 plus to
participate in the drinking game.
We hope to see you guys there. We know we have local Wicked Anime fans to Orlando. So we're very excited for June. We have a whole bunch of really special live events that we're
doing. June is a huge month for us. More on that later.
Yeah, on recording and stuff like that. So thank you very much for joining this episode once again. And you'll listen to us next week. And
probably not
whatever,
next week.
Yeah, oh, yeah,
or the other the week after the next week.
Yeah, at some point, you will be hearing
that.
You will hear our voices again eventually.
Sorry.
In at a point in time in history. We're going to go play some Monster Hunter now with you guys.
Yeah.
So we're going to go sign off the only way we know how.
Okay, bye.
Let's put pants on. Do, 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 do.
You know, and we talked about Cowboy Bebop, you know, was coming out, which was cool, but we would really like to see Big O, and we had Dylan casting John Hamm
as Roger Smith,
and it was the most perfect thing ever.
I forgot about that.
We're still all in agreement of that, right?
Like, oh, John Hamm is... Okay. Oh, John Hamm should, be...
Is that my watch beeping? Jeez. Yeah, it was my watch beeping.
Surprise, my bomb is about to go off.
It's O time. Big O time. Go time, Big O. I forgot what he says.
It's showtime.
That's what it was.
Yeah. It's shameful display, Dylan.
Thanks for listening to the Wicked Anime Podcast, presented by Nerdy Show. If you like what you heard, please rate and review on iTunes, or like and follow us on SoundCloud. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network. And there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow to find out how you or your company can underwrite this and other Nerdy Show programming. Visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. You can subscribe to the Wicked Anime Podcast via iTunes and SoundCloud. Leave a comment, like and share, and follow Nerdy Show and Wicked Anime on all your favorite social networks. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and other awesomeness, visit nerdyshow.com. If it's geeky, we've got it covered.